Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to the Midday News. The news is live on Joy 99.7 FM, hits 103.9 FM in Accra, on Love 99.5 in Kumasi, streaming worldwide at myjoyonline.com, also on X Spaces and YouTube, where it's live in all 16 regions of Ghana via partner stations, including Radio Justice Tamale, Lolonyo FM Hohoi, Ikligi FM Boli, Castle FM Cape Coast, Oil City Radio, Takoradi, Ganga FM Drapa, and Radio Freed in Nandam. This afternoon, as the NPP chairmanship race heats up, with another day of nominations, a political analyst says Chairman Wontumi's withdrawal will do little to change the competition.
He has done his bit. He contributed reasonable to the party's development, particularly in the Ashanti region and all. But let's look at those who are contesting. There is something people don't know about the party. You can be the best in terms of quality and all that. It takes a long time.
Meanwhile, the NPP headquarters went agog when Boakye Jacob filed his nomination, urging supporters to back him with one promise to bring back the NPP back to power in 2028.
And I believe that this now NPP will see its period of ease, and that period will be when we win power, make Dr. Mohamed Mbawumia the president.
Away from the NPP headquarters, national security flags growing shift in a political vigilante mobilization to social media and encrypted communication platforms. Also coming up, critical drainage works within the Kanishi enclave expected to last 1 year, set to affect traffic flow with road closures and diversions starting September 7. And in the Ashanti region, Bosom Tree Assembly members intensify efforts to remove DCE, alleging his involvement in illegal mining. In sports,
Antoine Semenyo makes history as the first Ghanaian named in the Premier League team of the season.
And also coming up, Ghana's first ever statistical report on registered deaths exposes the country's growing non-communicable disease crisis, with men accounting for 6 in every 10 deaths, but with fewer than 4 in 10 projected deaths registered, could the true toll be far higher? And also coming up, Prempeh College is roaring towards a sixth NSMQ crown, tearing apart old rivals whilst with a landslide lead. 8 years after the 2018 heartbreak, the Giants are putting the competition on notice. The Seekers are hungry for history. We're live at the University of Cape Coast for the very latest. These and more with me, Mami Sinyamita Thompson. This is Joy News, independent, fearless and credible journalism. Let's get into the details now. The decision by former Ashanti Regional NPP Chairman Bernard Entry Boisiako, also known as Chairman Wontumi, to withdraw from the party's chairmanship race will make little or no difference, according to political science analyst Dr. Kwame Asasante. Mr. Wontumi pulled out of the race just days after his team picked up nomination forms. Explaining his decision, the businessman and politician said that after consultations with his family and close allies, he had decided to step aside. He said he did not want the NPP to be burdened with his personal ambition, especially given his current circumstances. But despite Wontumi's strong grassroots following and his influence within the NPP support base in the Ashanti region, Dr. Asasante, a political analyst, believes his withdrawal changes very little.
You can be the best in terms of quality and all that. It takes a long time for them to look at it and say that you, now the time has come for you to what? Grab any seat. They want people to go through the mill. They want people to be matured. They want people to learn the rules. And then you abide by the rules of the game. Mm. Once they realize that you have reached that zenith, that apogee, then quickly you see support from nowhere. They rally behind you for power. You look at the people who have held
and you think you think that Chairman Wontumi, hadn't gone through the mill to get to that position of chairmanship,
he has done his bit. He contributed reasonable to the party's development, particularly in the Ashanti region and all. But let's look at those who are contesting. Look, in terms of experience, Paul Afoko, or even though he's been out for some time now. He's one of the experienced people. I don't know what happened to him. Who knows? Maybe without still being the chairman, or maybe he lost some few years ago. Look at the former general secretary, John Bwedu, even though young, but he has followed the party and the tradition for years. And he has also built capacity and brought himself to this level.
Well, let's head to the party headquarters now. And on day three of nomination filing, the party headquarters went buzzing when chairmanship hopeful Mr. Boache Jaco officially filed his nomination, rallying supporters behind a bold promise to lead the party back to power in 2028. Mr. Jaco says he responded to the call to serve. And joining us now is our correspondent, James Avedi, who's been monitoring events from the party headquarters since this morning. So, James, Mr. Jaco has filed his nomination and he was in the company of some MPs and other notable party supporters. Tell us more about that.
Well, I mean, that's the situation. He came with two, both former and current MPs. You have the former MP and former regional chairman of the Greater Accra Region, Henry Korte, as well as the former energy minister, former deputy energy minister, Ijapa Mensah. He was also accompanied by Al-Hassan Tampuli, who is the current MP and also Member of Parliament for Pandai, Matthew Nyindam. The four of them, together with other party supporters, accompanied him with huge crowd of sympathizers to file his nomination. He's been given two separate addresses. In the first address, he said that the current NPP is holding down, but they are not done. They will rise again to secure victory. After filing, he addressed the number of supporters, and his message is clear, that he has only one duty to perform for the NPP, and after that, he will hang his boots in active politics, and that is to deliver victory for Dr. Bawumia in 2028.
A call to revive our party from its current doldrums. It is not a call I respond to lightly. I don't respond to it out of a sense of privilege or any attendant powers thereto. No, I respond to it to serve. The message I have for all of us and for our party is that yes, we may be down. We may be down, but we are not out. MPP shall rise again. After every hardship, there is ease. Maybe now, MPP, they are going some hardships, but there will be ease after this hardship. That is why the Quran teaches and tells us, "Fa'inna ma al-usri yusra, inna ma al-usri yusra." It teaches us that after every period of hardship is followed by ease, and I believe that this our MPP will see its period of ease, and that period will be when we win power, make Dr. Mahamudu Bawumia the President of the Republic, and I as Chairman of the ruling party. It is then that through good policy, good government,
Still on politics, the political vigilante groups that once operated openly may be becoming harder to see, but National Security says they are not necessarily gone. National Security Coordinator COP Osman Abdul Razak says some groups are adapting to the changing environment by moving their mobilization to social media platforms and encrypted communication channels. He said although the passage of the Vigilantism and Related Offences Act in 2019 has reduced the visibility of these groups, the threat has not been completely eliminated. He was speaking at the Election Watch Ghana Dialogue on Vigilantism on Tuesday.
We must not mistake reduced visibility of these groups as complete eradication. A vigilante group is a vigilante group, regardless of its name, uniform, or publicity. We are very much aware that one, some groups are rebranding as internal security teams, volunteer task forces, or community security initiatives. Two, others have dissolved into looser and less visible networks that are more complex to track. But if our ability to track people on social media is anything to go by, a word to a wise is enough.
Well, let's go on the phone lines and speak to Dr. Victor Docker. He's a security analyst. Grateful for your time on the midday news. This is indeed a worrying pattern, but do you think our security agencies are equipped to tackle this?
Right, thank you very much. A good day to you and your listeners. I think the security apparatus are very much ready, proactive enough,
have some systems and equipment in place to be able to tackle any unforeseen circumstances. Now, with regards to this topic, we are discussing. It's been on for some time now, just that openly we've not been discussing it. Now, for the National Security Coordinator to come out with regards to this latest, of course, these vigilante groups have, you know, evolved. People are becoming smarter by day. And because of the act, which was one step in a good direction toward this kind of menace, they are not openly operating. That doesn't mean that the threat is what non-existent. Now, just a few months back, I personally checked on a video where a group of young guys were swearing allegiance to a political party towards 2028 elections. This just tells you how, you know, groups are keen on using your vigilantes for their activities, irrespective that we have an act. The implementation of the act, yes, you would say that there are challenges with regards to how personalities come in, political elites come in, and then try to solve the situation when these vigilantes are arrested. All these things means that we need to look at the revision of the act. Now, if they are evolving, then it means that you need to look at the component of the act that goes by the aspect of dynamics in which they are evolving. Mm. So do we need to include all these aspects of social media, technology, cyber aspects in it? We need to do so because the dynamics keep on changing. And if we do not, then it means we'll be taken by surprise. So we need to be also abreast with the latest activities with regards to vigilantism. The security approaches are on top of their game, and trust me, they have networks of intelligence, informants that they are using to pick daily activities regards to what suspected groups that are linked to what vigilante activities. Mm. And so from now to, you know, the next elections, we should be proactive enough to initiate, you know, preventive activities in line with the Act 999-2019 to be able to forestall any unforeseen circumstances. Because you know how the situation becomes very tense, the atmosphere becomes very tense when it's getting to elections. And let's not forget, now with regards to the last election, it has taught us that it's not only before and during, but after also activities of vigilantism.
Grateful,
we need to look at that.
Grateful for your time. Dr. Victor Docker is security analyst. Moving on, critical drainage improvement works are set to commence within the Kaneshi enclave from 7 September this year through to October 2027 and are expected to affect traffic flow following road closures and diversions. That's according to the Works and Housing Minister, Ahmed Ibrahim, who says although the works will affect commuters, they should consider the long-term benefits as the project is expected to help address the flooding situation in the country. He spoke at government's accountability series earlier today.
As we speak, and From what the minister just mentioned, we are at Malam. We call the place Malam Bola. Malam Bola, we are going to deal with the movement or haulage of solid waste from the retention pond at, we call it the Lafa retention or basin, the retention pond or basin, the Lafa basin. Someone, an individual, took it upon himself to get some of this solid waste to be dumped at the place there. He capped it with some lactrite, compacted it, and the intention was to sell it out to people. He has been stopped, and now we are there trying to get everything out, excavate everything out of the basin, and then haul the waste right down to Insawam.
Let's get more from Presidential Affairs Correspondent Maxwell Akbagba joining us on Zoom with more. So Maxwell, the project coordinator for Gari, Dr. Kwejo Ohinisafo, stated that the work involves a double-cell underground rectangular stormwater drain. What does that mean? Give us more details on the diversion routes.
Yes, so he stated that the Gari project, which we know is the World Bank Government of Ghana initiative, has now entered a very critical and major implementation phase. He says the construction of this drainage system will result in the road closures and traffic diversions, with motorists and commuters expected to experience changes in traffic flow throughout the construction period. Now, he says one of the major affected corridors will be the westbound section of the Dr. Buzia Highway from the Pamprom Junction to the First Light traffic intersection, which will be closed for approximately 12 months. Now, we're told the closure is expected to affect motorists traveling from Kolebu, the Mortuary Road, the Graphic Road, and Obiche Bilamte Circle towards and beyond the First Light traffic intersection. He gave the full list of some of the areas that will be affected, and he said in the coming days, TV stations, radio stations will be rolling out advertisements publicize it and also alert commuters.
Beginning 7th of September 2026, works will commence on the construction of a double-cell underground rectangular stormwater drain from Pamprom Junction to First Light Junction along the Dr. Buzia Highway within the Kanishi Enclave. The drain to be constructed measures approximately 10 meters wide and it runs for 1.5 kilometers. And it will replace the existing 1.2 meter diameter two number pipes that currently serves the enclave. On one end, it will connect to the recently completed section within the Accra Academy campus. And on the other end, connect to the drain at Pamprom Junction. The works will span from where we have the Pamprom Junction all the way to First Light, and the work will be done in three phases. So the alternative routes that we are providing are the ones highlighted in blue, including, and there will be other ones also that we'll discuss.
Away from that, a group of assembly members in the Bosumtwi district of the Ashanti region have accused the district chief executive, Engineer Hamidu Abdallah, of involvement in illegal mining activities. According to the members, the activities have destroyed farmlands and water bodies in some communities, robbing families of their livelihoods. The DCE for Bosumtwi, Engineer Abdallah, has vehemently denied the allegations, describing them as false, baseless, and a deliberate attempt to tarnish his reputation and create disaffection between him and the government. More on this report.
A group of assembly members in Bosumtwi has accused the DCE, Engineer Hamidu Abdallah, of colluding with illegal miners to degrade the environment. They say farmlands and water bodies in communities including Beposo, Yase, Ejafo, Amakum and Konkuma have been destroyed. The group alleges the DCE benefits financially from the illegality and had denied the existence of Galamse until a regional task force seized 5 excavators in the district. They are now threatening to petition President John Mahama and pass a vote of no confidence to remove him.
The Honorable DCE have been condoning and conniving with Galamseyes to do illegal mining at Bosumtwi, and he denies saying on social media. Why not brief the Honorable Assembly Members on the current state of the LMC activities in the district? Why wait for National Security and Regional Task Force to come and seize 5 excavators in the district, of which you represent the president, to have vehemently denied the opportunities or the operation of illegal mining, only to accept that at a later date after these machines have been seized? Whereas you can go out there and see that there are 5 excavators in front of the assembly building, which were seized because of illegal mining, but this he denied that there was no illegal mining in Bosumche. Later, he returned to say that he was talking about the lake itself. Illegal mining, whether in the lake or in any part of Bosumche, it's illegal mining. Why do we have to agree to that? How do we accept that? Because he has a way of benefiting from that, and that does not go away from for our district.
But the DCE, Engineer Hamidou Abdallah, has vehemently denied the allegations, describing them as false and baseless. He insists of not being involved in mining and has no concession or excavator anywhere in Bosumche. The DCE says his administration has been at the forefront of the fight against illegal mining, especially around Lake Bosumche, which is a UNESCO biosphere reserve. He explained that the recent seizure of 5 excavators was initiated under his leadership in collaboration with RegSec and DISEC. He has therefore instructed his lawyers to file a defamation suit against the leader of the petitioners.
Anybody who knows me in my entire life, in my private life, even before I became a member of a parliamentary candidate, I became a chief executive. I have never done anything close to mining, whether it be illegal or illegal mining. I have never been close to mining activity before. So it comes as worrying.
Well, let's get more from Nana Aljima in the Ashanti region. So, Nana, tell us, how is this standoff affecting the work of the assembly?
Now, the assembly members are divided between the DC himself and other factions who are not for the DC or who are accusing the DC of some wrongdoings. And these factions have affected the assembly's workings, especially when they sit as a unit to deliberate on issues that are affecting the assembly. Now, according to some of the assembly members, some of them would have to pay before they get drip equipment for some of the projects they would want to do in their electoral areas. And these, among others, are affecting the workings of the assembly and the areas in there.
All right, Nana Aljima, thank you very much. And you're still listening to the Midday News here on Joy 99.7 FM. We'll take a break when we return. Ghana's first ever statistical report on registered deaths exposes the country's growing non-communicable diseases crisis, with men accounting for 6 in every 10 deaths. But with fewer than 4 in 10 projected deaths registered, could the true toll be far higher? We have that coming up. Also, in the National Science and Math Quiz, Prempeh College is roaring towards a Sith crown, tearing apart all rivals whilst with a landslide lead 8 years after the 2018. Back to the Midday News. We have sports with Mubarak.
Mamisi Antoine Semenyo, he has made history by becoming the first Ghanaian player to be named in the PFA Premier League Team of the Year. The Man City forward was included in the first 11 at the annual awards event after scoring 21 goals last season. Before I go, Black Stars midfielder Kwesi Sibo, he has left Spanish side Real Oviedo for Libyan champions Al Sueli. The 28-year-old has signed a 3-year deal worth $10 million, as well as an apartment in Libya.
Thank you very much.
Why are you not
much
a footballer?
I know, right? Look at the millions being pronounced. Anyway, Ghana's growing non-communicable disease crisis is emerging as a major driver of deaths, with hypertension, heart failure, stroke, diabetes, cancer, and other cardiovascular conditions among the leading causes. The finding is contained in the first ever statistical report on deaths released by the Births and Deaths Registry. It shows that men accounted for 6 out of every 10 of the 50,992 deaths registered in 2022, while about 61% of the deaths occurred in hospitals. Except for cancer, the leading diseases claimed more males than females. However, only 38% of the deaths projected for the year were registered, highlighting significant gaps in Ghana's death registration system and suggesting that the true burden of NCD-related deaths could be much higher. Joining us this afternoon is Dr. Jacqueline Thompson, and she's the NCD focal person for Greater Accra. We're grateful for your time, Doc, on the Midday News. What does this first ever report tell us about the scale of Ghana's NCD crisis?
Hello, good afternoon to you and to your viewers. So this first ever report tells us that the conditions related to non-communicable diseases is growing in Ghana and it's getting worse.
All right, so why...
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Why hypertension, heart failure, stroke, and diabetes claiming so many lives, particularly men? Why men, really?
These conditions are known as lifestyle-related conditions. So we have risk factors such as unhealthy diets, people not doing enough physical activity, so we call it physical inactivity. We have alcohol and smoking. There's, poor sleep, etc., etc. So these are the major risk factors that have been found to be attributed to these conditions. And that's what we found to explain why the condition is on the rise, and then also especially in our men.
So what immediate action is the Ghana Health Service taking to improve maybe screening, treatment, and also public awareness, especially for high-risk men?
So that's why in the few months ago, the free primary health screening has been implemented so that everybody can access this, so that they get screened for these non-communicable diseases. They can be picked up early and then treatment is initiated.
Grateful for your time, Dr. Jacqueline Thompson. She's the NCD focal person for the Greater Accra Region. Prempeh College is roaring towards history, crushing WAS in a dominant display as the Giants set their sights on a sixth trophy. In 2018, WAS stunned Prempeh and stormed into its first